This morning I want to talk about a subject that's been on my mind since the booth that we set up. It's been on my mind for all my life, but in particular it's been renewed with the booth that we had set up just not long ago. And thinking about some of the Bible studies that we're going to get in and some of the discussions that are going to be had, this no doubt at some point in those home Bible studies will be a matter of discussion. And so if you are interested in helping in these home Bible studies, I would ask you to have your pens handy. Write down some of these Bible verses, some of these thoughts, because it will indeed help you as you enter into leading some of these discussions with people from several different denominations. And so it's kind of interesting. I got online some time ago and started doing some research for a lesson like this. And it astounds me when we start looking at other denominations and religious bodies, how many really do believe that there are many different ways to get to heaven. Now, what do we mean by many different ways? We're talking about many different beliefs. That's what we're talking about. How one can teach that baptism's essential and another group say that it's not essential, but both end up in heaven. That's interesting to me. I think most people, I won't say all, but I believe most people have good intentions. And their desires are meant well. But as we talked about in our adult study this morning, sometimes we allow our feelings to trump truth. And so this morning I want to go back to truth. This is a very basic elementary lesson. In talking about the idea of salvation and being saved from our sins, is there many different ways to have that happen in our lives today? It's interesting. This is online. You can research it. Pertaining to religious bodies and the idea and the subject matter of eternal life, you can just Google that. And there are several research studies that have been had pertaining to denominations and their thoughts on being many different ways. It's interesting. When we talk, the study professes that there were several that were interviewed, and almost 90% of Buddhists believe that there are many different ways to salvation. Many different ways. We maybe talk about Catholics, and there are 80% of Catholics believe that there are many different ways to salvation. Muslims, 56% of Muslims believe that there are many different ways to salvation. Mormons, 39% of them believe that there are many different ways. Jehovah Witnesses, it astounds me, 18% believe that there are many different ways. Jehovah Witnesses was the lowest in this study, which surprises me greatly. But the study, there are other different groups. You can go and study that yourself and look at that and see the studies that have been had, and there have been many. And the numbers might vary a few percentage points, but it really sets the tone for the religious world that we live in. The religious world that we live in today believe and claim that there are many different ways to salvation. So what do we believe? And more importantly, what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say about this subject matter of salvation and the paths that lead to it? Well, I believe, first off, that the Bible is very, very clear. And so the issue is not with the Bible. It's not with God's mind being revealed through those that recorded it for us. The problem is with us. The problem is not with Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 7, as was read for us just a second ago, it says this: "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way." Did you catch that? "The way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So what does the Scriptures teach and what do the Scriptures say about the way. And so let's research together. Let's look at a couple of verses to help us appreciate what the Scriptures have to say on this matter. Again, if you're going to help with these Bible studies, if you're trying to set up Bible studies on your own, if you're involved in some home Bible studies right now, this is a subject that you need to know about and need to know how to answer in a biblical way. And so I hope to achieve that as we look at Scriptures this morning. The Bible does, in fact, teach that there is only one path to salvation. One, singular, period. Does that seem narrow? Yes, because it is narrow. We just read about that in Matthew chapter 7. John chapter 8 and verse 24, we read this morning in our adult Bible study as well. John chapter 8 in verse 24, this is what Jesus has to say about this idea. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus professed that unless an individual believe in him, they will die in their sins. Now, I'm going to move very quickly through the first slide and the second slide and really focus our attention on our conclusion thought, and that is the plan of salvation. But I want us to illustrate very neatly and very plainly this morning that Jesus did, in fact, say that there is one way to salvation, and that one way is through Jesus Christ, him. There's not many different ways. We can't turn to men who have established churches here on this side of eternity and solely turn to them when we think about the Muslim faith or some of the other religious bodies, denominations that are out there today, who claim somebody other than Jesus. We know from the very start as we look at Scriptures that Jesus clearly indicates there is one way, and that way is through him. He also says in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Let's look at that as well. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, do we believe that or not? You know, I don't need to know the Greek language to understand what the Scriptures are teaching me on that. Jesus speaks and we are to listen. We are to take heed to that. He is the way unto salvation. He is the life. He is the bread, as we talked about just a few moments ago. Jesus clearly illustrates to us that there is one singular, one way to salvation. And that's through him. You know, it's interesting when you push that a little bit more, his disciples, his followers, said the very same thing. Acts chapter 4. Let's turn over there. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. Again, this is probably a very elementary and lesson to you, but I think we don't talk enough about this kind of stuff anymore. And I believe there's a generation that's coming up that's maybe ignorant towards these principles because we think that this is less, this we shouldn't preach on this stuff. It's too elementary. It's too principal. And so we don't talk about these things. And so we have a generation that's coming up in the school systems who have friends that go to denominations and they don't know how to answer these very elementary questions that are asked of them. And so, and maybe ourselves, we need refresher course as well on this subject matter. In verse 12, he says, there is no salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Again, I'm not going to read all these other verses, but every one of the references on the board this morning pertaining to the apostles speaking testify to the fact that there is only one path unto salvation. And that path is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said that himself. Those that followed him and sat at his feet and understood what Jesus said, said the very same thing. There is one way unto salvation. to come and believe anything else leaves us in a predicament. Just run with this argument for just a second that the religious world is believing today. What if there are many paths to heaven? Now just think about that for just a second. What if we believe, like all other religious bodies in this world today? And we just listed a whole bunch of them. Even down to the Jehovah Witnesses, 18% of their believers believe that there are many ways to achieve salvation. What if we run with that? What if the Church of Christ today, local congregations, believe this? That yes, there are many paths to heaven. You believe what you want to believe, we believe what we want to believe, and we'll all get there someday. What if we believe that? You know, there is growing in popularity is mixed worship services today. I'm not talking about colors of skin, but I'm talking about blending of groups. It's becoming very popular in the religious world today. You'll have two different bodies of believers coming together under one roof and worshiping what they believe is God. How do we do that? How can we do that? What if we believe this matter? Look at John chapter 14 and verse 6 again. Let's read what Jesus had to say on this. I hope this will convict you this morning. Maybe you're a member of the local congregation here and you do struggle with that. That seems so narrow to you. When we look at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14 and we read it and we say, well, boy, man, that seems really narrow. We can't be narrow. Look, if we're narrow in today's time, look at all the people that we offend. We want to be politically correct. We don't want to take such a rigid stand. Look at all the people that we'll push away in the process. If that's you this morning, can I reason with Scripture with you? What did Jesus say? John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you see the predicament we get ourselves in? You see, if we believe that there are many paths to heaven, do you see what happens to the statement that Jesus makes in John 14 and verse 6? It goes against that belief, doesn't it? So if we're going to believe this, then we make Jesus out to be a liar. Acts chapter 14 and verse 12, the verse that we just read a second ago, we make the apostles out to be a liar as well. If we want to go down this path and believe that there are many paths unto salvation, many paths that lead to heaven, we make Jesus out to be a liar, we make the apostles out to be a liar. And just run a little bit further with that thought process. If this is true that there are many paths that lead to salvation, many paths that lead to heaven, look at who suffered and died in vain. What's the point of Jesus dying on the cross? Why would he do that then? If there's many ways unto salvation, many ways to heaven, why die on the cross? What about the apostles? Look about all the suffering that they went through. Look at the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 23 beginning, it says this. They are ministers of Christ. I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides all other things comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of the churches. Now think about that for just a second. Paul, as he speaks about his life and the sufferings that he went through, why go through those things? Why take such a stand and suffer miserably at the hands of your own countrymen, your own people. Why do that? If there are many ways unto salvation, why suffer? Because if one way is just as good as another, and there's a path that causes you least or less suffering, why not take that? You see, Jesus went to the cross, and the apostles suffered as they did because they taught that narrow way unto salvation. It's through Jesus. You see, so as believers today, when we think about the religious world that we live in and the scream and plea to be politically correct and not offend people, we have to understand that Jesus spoke, there is a way, one way. The apostles taught the very same principle, and we as believers today must understand and must follow that way as well and beckon others to understand that. And we need to teach this with love and humility. But we also need to be bold about this. We can't believe this. We cannot allow it into our minds. But we need to follow God's plan for saving mankind. Well, what is this plan? Can I run through this very quickly with you? I know in today's time, I know I'm guilty of it. We get to the conclusion of a lesson. Everybody grabs their songbooks. We're done listening to the sermon. We extend the invitation, but it never really hits us. I want to change that this morning. I want to make this the focal point of the lesson. What does God say about the way to salvation? What do we find taught in scriptures about the way unto salvation? Are there many different ways? Maybe you've seen this illustration. If you've sat long enough and listened to enough gospel sermons preached, you've seen this or something very similar to this. We think about God's part. He sent His Son to this earth. John 3 and verse 16. We often talk about that verse. Jesus shed His blood. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Brother Greg just led us in that discussion in our adult study and talked about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We can also understand, looking at John chapter 16 and verse 13, that the Spirit revealed God's Word. It's God's part. He achieved it with perfection. Whether we're talking about Him loving mankind and sending His Son to this earth, or Jesus dying on the cross, or the Holy Spirit revealing God's Word for us, that was it, perfection at work. But you see, what's man's part? What's man's part? What's our part? Romans chapter 10. Let's turn over there for just a second. Now, I know I could probably quote many of these. I know if I asked you to quote them, you could probably quote it as well. I don't want to do that this morning. I want to turn to scriptures and help us appreciate what God says and read it directly from His Word, this one way onto salvation. Romans chapter 10 in verse 13. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith, what? Comes by what? Hearing. And hearing how? By the Word of God. Right? It's important for us to understand that. If we're going to know what this one way is, we've got to turn to His Word to know it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It also teaches us in John chapter 8 and verse 24. Let's all turn over there. John chapter 8. And in verse 24, what does the scriptures have to say? John chapter 8 and in verse 24, it says this. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. Do we have to believe in God? Yes, we do. Do we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Yes, we do. Do we have to believe that Jesus died and His blood can wash our sins clear and away from us? Yes, we do. We have to believe all these things. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Let's see what the scriptures have to say. Turn with me. I know we probably can, again, memorize. We've got these verses memorized. But turn with me in Scriptures. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. What's it say? Then Peter said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do the Scriptures have to say? You see, if we're willing to believe that there is a God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, but we're not willing to repent of our sins, that means a 180 from the direction we're going in. We're now going to allow ourselves to be clay in the potter's hand. Then there's no reason for us to go any further. I would propose and put before you this morning that if repentance is just as important as believing and hearing. If you're not willing to repent, then there's no reason to take another step forward. You've got to grasp that in your life. We have to repent of the direction we're going. Romans chapter 10, in 9 and 10, sets a powerful point for us. There are several religious bodies out there that get this confused. 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 10, it says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we look at that. Confession. What are we confessing? Are we confessing every sin that we've committed in our life? No, we're confessing that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Again, I want to emphasize this point before we get to baptism, that confession is just as important as repentance, just as important as belief, and just as important as hearing. We can't move to baptism until all of these things have been established in our minds and in our lives. What about the baptism? Mark 16 and verse 16, let's turn over there. Now, I'll tell you, if you're going to be involved in these home Bible studies, this will be a point of contention. There are several that we have Bible studies set up with that do not believe baptism is essential for salvation. How do you handle that? How do you answer that in a loving way? What does the Scripture say? Have them turn over to Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. I've had an individual argue with me and say, well, belief is talked about once here and baptism is talked about once. Belief is talked about twice. Baptism is talked about once here. Belief is more important than baptism. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe, you're not going to move to baptism. You have to be there. You have to believe. If you don't believe, you're not going to move. What do the Scriptures say? What does Jesus say here? If he says it once, is it enough? Yes. Are we subject to it? Yes, we are. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved before baptism? We know we're not. But there are many that will claim that you are. And when that discussion comes about baptism, and we read this text in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, and it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're saved before baptism, then please tell me what you're being saved from in baptism. Are you being saved from being saved? You see the predicament? One might say, well, you're just a bunch of water dogs. That's been said about the Church of Christ. We're water dogs. All we believe is baptism. No, that's not what we believe. We believe that you need to hear, that you need to believe, you need to repent, you need to confess, and you need to be baptized. But we also believe that you have to be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 in verse 10. What's it say? What do the Scriptures have to say? It says in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is God's way for us to receive forgiveness of our sins. Now, we can argue with that. We can say it's a matter of interpretation. it's your view, but at the end of the day, truth is the truth. And we can either submit to it or not. Brethren, dear friends, there is one way onto salvation. Period. That's it. One way onto heaven. And that way is through Jesus Christ. And we hope that all of us here this morning believe that. We hope that upon your belief that you will move with godly fear as well. If you're a Christian, that hopefully you'll take this message to those that are lost, those that are in your realm of influence, and teach this to them. Quit being silent about it and being ashamed of it. And start professing and being the people that God has called us to be. Nick, can I bite it again? It's time for us to quit being the silent majority and just simply be the majority. Brethren, take the message to those that are lost. It's time for us to rise up and teach the truth on the way to salvation and the way to heaven. There's one way. I hope this lesson has maybe refreshed the thoughts and understanding of scriptures that you've had on this principle and on this discussion and on this question. But maybe you're here this morning and this is new to you. You've not heard these principles before. Maybe it's challenged you this morning, enough so that you realize that you're in sin and you want to do something about that. We hope that if that's you this morning, that you'll come to the front as we stand and sing, that you'll raise your hand, I will come to you, that you'll make that request be made known. But maybe you're still on the fence about it. Listen, I will stay. I don't need to go home and eat supper or lunch. I will stay here this afternoon and study with you and help you progress in your thought process to understand about this one way unto salvation. I hope that you'll let me do that with you this afternoon. If you're here and you're Christian, you've not been living right, take your shortcomings to Him. We serve an awesome and loving God who wants and longs to forgive you of your sins this morning. But you got to take it to Him. You got to be humble and you've got to ask. Won't you do that as we stand and as we sing?